Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, we're going back with the final comment there from David Halper, and then I'm really wanting to get deep, dark, and dirty into that book. Let's go.
Yeah, because before the break there, we were talking about your view of religion today as you see it. Although you're a religious person, you're not sure that the transcendent actually exists, but you recognize it as being part of your belief system in a maybe a more abstract sense. Have I got that right?
Let us say it's part of what I need to function.
And how about when you were young then, when you were going through the process of losing your mother, were you a believer then? Would you pray to the Lord to save your mother as if there is a real transcendent being who could perhaps grant that wish?
I would pray to the Lord that a pretty little girl who sat behind me in class would like me the way I liked her. I did not pray to the Lord to save my mother because that would have implied conceding that my mother was in danger, which I could not bring myself to do. Now, did I believe in God? Intermittently. I certainly was fascinated by the Bible. I also felt very acutely what the theologians call the problem of evil. Why, if there's a good God, is there evil in the world? And the book of Job was my favorite book of the Bible. For that
very
reason.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, that's so. Then, if we compare that to say finding a belief in flying saucers, then this wasn't a case where it was sort of a parallel to religion where you were hoping maybe the Space Brothers would come down and heal your mom. It was more a case of you had found something miraculous that could divert your attention away from the reality of what was going on in your world at the time.
Or that promised to give me a handle on it. Okay? And I realize that doesn't make much sense, but I'll try to clarify it. In Intimate Alien, I talk about a sort of a strange disconnect in my beliefs. If you had gotten young Dave Halperin circa 1962 or 1963 and asked, were the UFOs here to redeem our world, alas, you know, the Space Brothers, I would say that's nonsense. They are hostile. They are here to conquer us. Did I believe that? Because I know that when Donald Menzel published his The World of Flying Saucers in 1963, in which he tried to show that there were no UFOs, that UFOs were a myth in his very disparaging sense of the word, I was terrified. I was terrified that he would prove to me that UFOs didn't exist. Now, isn't this incongruous? I think the UFOs are here to conquer the world. And dude, who knows what to us? Shouldn't I be relieved to find out they don't exist? It would be as if somebody were suddenly to reveal the coronavirus doesn't exist.
Right.
And that this really is all a fantasy of the media.
You know what? There's still people going around saying it's fake. It's just a hoax from the Democrats. You got to tell that to all the families who are impacted, about the families of the people who have died. Forget about the politics, guys. That kind of claim is just sick.
As far as coronavirus goes, but as far as UFOs goes, I think it was really pretty plausible.
No, I get what you're saying, David. I totally get what you're saying, because I think I've felt perhaps the same way myself in an odd sense, in that, okay, UFOs are real. You'll see when they come down and take over, and I'll get my vindication when they destroy the world. You know, yeah. And in a way, actually, with what Gina's talking about there, There's this, I'm feeling somewhat similar because I've written songs in the past about how if we keep mistreating nature and the world, what's going on is nature is going to fight back. Something is going to happen and it won't be pretty. And there is that view that, that's exactly what's going on now, is that we went too far with what we were doing, and there is a pattern in nature that is prone to equalizing things, and that's what's going on. And part of me wants to say, look, you know, I told you so, and I'm sure there's probably a number of other people out there at the same time going, I told you so, because they predicted that this would happen and tried to warn people, but there's no sense of satisfaction in seeing it come true. It's an awful thing to see it coming true.
Yeah. With the difference that it looks like the horrible effects of global warming are, in fact, becoming real, whereas the UFO invasion never happened. And I think deep down I knew it wasn't going to happen. But I believed in it because it, and here I go to another ancient myth that is, I think, essentially true, which is Perseus being able to confront Medusa by not looking at her directly, but only in a mirror. The UFOs were the mirror in which I looked at the death that was creeping into, that was invading our home.
Oh.
And it was through that mirror that I was able to stay sane. If Menzel were right, the mirror would shatter, and I would be left to face the unfaceable.
What a fabulous metaphor. That is really deep.
That is why I believed in UFOs. And in fact, after my mother died, the belief faded and really revived when I'm actually revived at two points. One was in 1969 when I did an independent study reading the book of Ezekiel. And then in 1970, when I met Jacques Vallée and the pieces started to come together, and my thoughts as a Bible scholar, a scholar of the history of Judaism, and as a ufologist, which by the way, I still think of myself as being, came together.
Okay. That is really interesting because, I mean, this is one ufologist to another then. And this is one of the reasons why I say that we need to make room for your kinds of views within the overall field, as well as the others, you know.
But I think the essential thing we're claiming is not UFOs are from outer space, but UFOs are important. Attention must be paid.
That is a common ground for sure.
Yeah.
No question. So let's consider for a moment then, let's say that there was some critic out there that says, well, you know, Carl Jung already did this, you know, and you're just retelling his stories and in your own way. What sets your work apart? Do you consider it to be more of an evolution of Jung's work, or
yeah?
Let's get into that a little bit. Where have you taken Jung since he wrote Flying Saucers and Modern Mythic Things Seen in the Sky? What have you added to that?
I think I have fleshed it out in some specific UFO incidents, and particularly in the individuals who I see as formative in shaping the UFO myth. And remember, I do not use myth to mean falsehood. I use myth to mean a kind of collective dream. So yeah, there's no question been inspired by Jung, but not all of us have been inspired by our predecessors. We all stand on the shoulders of giants.
We have some gigantic comments to make right now. David Halpern, the book is Intimate Alien, and now I really want to move headmost and head foremost into that book with Gene, Randall, and David. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Maybe we should have David come back and get into this theoretical material in after the Paracast. But we've got this new book from you, Intimate Alien. I am aching to talk about it. Not just because I play a cameo role that we can talk about.
Very important cameo role, I should say.
Well, thank you very much. I resemble that remark, but seriously, what led you to put this book together?
Because I think that the UFOs have been the guiding principle of my intellectual life. No, I won't restrict it to intellectual and spiritual. And I am not a young man. I am 72 years old. The UFOs have been with me for nearly 60 of those years. And to me, telling the story of the UFO, both as my story and as the story of others with whom I think I can understand particularly well because I was there, that I see as my life's mission.
Oh, let's take a look at this here now. Why the words intimate alien?
Yes. That at the bottom, at the center, I see the UFO as representing death. And death is both something intimate to us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, born with us at the moment of our birth, and at the same time, the most alien thing we can fail in our efforts to conceive. And that paradox of the alien that is intimate is what I see the UFO as most fundamentally about.
You have some different aspects of the UFO field and case histories in the book, and I want to get through a couple of the chapter heads because it'll give you kind of a sense of where he's gone. You talk about your startings, Smigonia abductions, which
yes.
is a big part. That's inside the UFO. The UFO terrestrial about the Three Men in Black and Shaver mystery, which is, of course, the one that I got somehow involved in. And then, of course, Roswell, New Mexico, and an epilogue about John Lennon. I don't even know where to begin here.
Well, shall we begin with John Lennon?
I'll tell you what, let's do John Lennon first.
Yeah. That I don't know how many people know that in August of 1974, John Lennon had a close-up UFO sighting. I think in the standard classification system, it would be called a close encounter of the first kind. That Lennon was at the time separated from his wife, Yoko Ono, and living with his assistant, May Pang, in a penthouse apartment in Manhattan. And according to the stories both of them have told, and they were both interviewed multiple times, Pang had been showering, and Lennon, who liked to walk around the apartment naked, and by the way, this is not just a bit of risque detail, this is important to the story, that he called to her, May, come out here, and they went out on the balcony, and they saw a dome disc passing fairly close overhead. They had a camera with them. They took photos of it. The photos came out completely blank, which is exactly what I would have expected. Yet they did experience that disc passing over them. Now, in almost all, I've come across one exception, but in almost all of their retellings of the story, they stress that one or both of them were naked. And they do that so consistently that I cannot believe that that is just an incidental detail. And I ask, where else do we find a naked human couple confronting a numinous entity? I'm bringing in the Jungian word numinous here, which I think links God with the UFOs.
Well, of course, we've got the mythology of the Garden of Eden, of course.
Of course. The Lord God walking in the garden at the cool of the day, which is when Lennon and Pang had their sighting. Pang in one interview says it had been a hot day, but by then it had cooled off and we could open the windows. He walks in the garden at the cool of the day and Adam and Eve hide from him. And he says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam says, I heard thy voice walking in the garden, and I was ashamed because I was naked, and I hid myself. The nakedness of Adam and Eve are vital to the story. The nakedness of John and May is vital to the story. And I understand this as the two of them experiencing a reenactment of that Eden story. I do not for a moment believe that either did so deliberately. I see this as something that had come unbidden from inside them, and in one important way, challenging them. Lennon, 3 years before, Lennon had recorded his most famous song of the post-Beatle era, which was Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. There's no hell beneath our feet, above us only sky, which is the total disenchantment of the sky. It's not a religious heaven. It's just, well, it's just sky.
One, of course, minor trivia about that is the lyrics primarily, I don't know if people know this, came from Yoko Ono, put to John Lennon's music. Not that she'd mean anything, but she was, as much as people dislike her for many of a thousand reasons, she was very much into peace.
The song is about more than peace, though. It's about a total secularization of human society and a total unenchantment of the world around us. And I think that world reasserted itself. Now, I'm glad you mentioned Yoko Ono, because I think Yoko was part of this story, that it was she who engineered John's affair with May Pang. And
that is correct, yes. And it's funny, though, in the end, you know who helped get them back together again, Yoko and John?
I did.
Paul McCartney.
I didn't know that.
You see, what happened here is somewhere around the mid-70s, after being estranged for the years after the Beatles broke up, John and Paul started becoming more and more friendly again. In fact, I'll give you the final story before we go into this and get into more of the case histories. In our next segment with David Halperin, the book is called Intimate Alien, The Hidden Story of the UFO. I'm Gene, he's Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
With coronavirus death rates escalating rapidly around the country, the CDC is now recommending facial coverings to help slow the spread of the virus. President Trump made it clear he would not be using them.
The CDC is advising the use of non-medical cloth face covering as an additional voluntary public health measure. So it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. They suggest it for a period of time. But this is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
In the hardest-hit city, New York Governor Cuomo signed an executive order to transfer ventilators from facilities that aren't using them to overwhelmed hospitals. He said he would use the National Guard if needed.
I'm not going to let people die because we didn't redistribute ventilators.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
There is a cassette tape that was found after Lennon died, and it had two words on it, for Paul, meaning that had he not died, he would have tried to try writing songs again with Paul McCartney. In fact, a couple of songs were later taken in the 90s and put into the anthology CDs where the rest of the Beatles got together with the help of producer Jeff Lynne to add music to these very poor quality cassettes where it was just John and his piano. Go ahead, David Halpern.
I mean, I'm glad you brought Yoko in because I think like any UFO experience, the encounter of John and with the UFO had multiple meanings. One of it was a way of asserting their independence vis-a-vis Yoko. And she was furious afterwards that they hadn't phoned her to tell her about the UFO. But I think it was important that they didn't. That the triad, which had been John and Yoko and May, became John, May, and the other.
Exactly. This takes us right back to the beginning, doesn't it? I've lightened up a lot about Yoko as I've gotten older, but she was always kind of like the snake in the grass, wasn't she? You know, in this analogy.
Well, what you said, that this is something I had not thought about. And it is really interesting. If I wake up at 3 o'clock this morning, I am probably going to have to chew that over, especially since I'm so big on Jung. And here we've got a Jungian quaternity.
The
triad, the trinity of John and May and the alien, the other, and the excluded one. The one didn't get the telephone call.
Who is trying to demystify everything with above us only sky, right? I mean, it fits.
Okay. But I just love this because Okay, I mean, I don't know at what point we start saying, well, we're letting our speculations get ahead of us. I personally think it's a good idea to let speculations get ahead of you and then rein them back tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah, but we're just having fun with it. I mean, okay, the other thing we're dealing with in this sighting is that the UFO was seen over the river. And, of course, we know that rivers have deep meaning within mythology.
Yeah.
And that it made a turn at the United Nations building.
Oh, you got to write a book about this. You got to write a book about this. This is what I was saying in the book, that we're dealing here with a religious encounter, a religious experience, which has human dimensions at almost every level. And I hope some of your listeners are going to say, boy, this is more interesting than beings from outer space. This is real human stuff.
I find it to be a lot of fun. And like I say, I think there could be room for both. I could very well take the view that, well, this was a real craft, the occupants of which are fully aware of all of these ramifications, and we're trying to influence the situation. I mean, we have John Lennon, definitely a popular figure with young people, who was an agent of social change. I'm not entirely sure it was just coincidental that this object showed up in front of them.
Oh, I certainly don't think it was.
You know, whether it was a projection of, you know, some collective consciousness or not, it's a very important bit of trivia in the overall history of the phenomena, for sure.
That is the story of John Lennon. Shall we move on to other stories?
Yeah, where did we leave off there, Gene? You were looking at the book there. Where should we go next?
Well, of course, he gets into abductions. We've kind of sort of done that already. Then you talk about ancient abductees, which I think refers way back to the early biblical times. Let's do that before we move into the Shaver mystery, Roswell, and other stuff.
Yeah, okay. And this is David Halperin as crypto-ufologist. That is to say, a hidden ufologist who hasn't yet gotten tenure and can't come out openly. All right?
Okay.
What I wrote my PhD dissertation and my first two books about was about something called the Merkava, or Maaseh Merkava. And this was what seems to have been something in ancient Judaism that crystallized around Ezekiel's vision at the beginning of his book, in the first book of Ezekiel. And according to the ancient rabbinic writings, the Talmud, there is something very powerful, but also something very dangerous about this Maaseh Merkava. And my question was, what was it? And I wrote a great deal about it, and one of the pieces of evidence in the rather complicated jigsaw puzzle that we very hard to put together into a really satisfying picture, but one of the main pieces of evidence is some very strange ancient texts in which Jewish mystics experience, through their own will and their activities, journeys to the entity called the Merkava, the chariot, seen by the prophet Ezekiel. But something very strange. They are called Yordei Merkava, those who go down to the Merkava, which is the exact opposite direction from what you would imagine them to be going. And in their experiences, in the fact of their descent, their writings seem to me to have parallels with the alien abduction tradition. On the one hand, I think alien abductions spring from the encounter of Betty and Barney Hill in the early 60s, which I suggest in the book was a transformation of some sort of ancestral memory of Barney's, of being abducted in the middle of the night and taken to a waiting ship. That is to say, the crime of African slavery. But emerging from this, I would say, this germ, this seedling, the seed of the Betty and Barney Hill incident and blossoming in the 1990s into an utterly fantastic system of stories of people being abducted, that it incorporated at the same time something very ancient, so that it's a myth that's at the same time distinctively modern. Its birth can be traced to Dr. Benjamin Simon's office in Boston in February of 1964, and yet it's also archaic and universal.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about this Merkava thing. Is that the actual craft or wheel or whatever it is that he saw that you're talking about there? We're talking about Ezekiel's experience with the wheel, I'm assuming here.
The wheel is part of it.
Okay. If I heard you right, it said that there are stories after that experience that Ezekiel had where people, I'm not sure if they were from his tribe or village or friends or relatives or who they were, went down and had repeated visitations with it. Did I get that right?
You got it. You got it right.
Oh, well, let's hear some more about that, because this is entirely new to me.
It's centuries after Ezekiel. We do not know who these people are. We do not know when they lived. What we do know is that their writings survive that seem to go back earlier than the Middle Ages. Their dates have been proposed, I think, and they're referred to by authors in dated writings, I think, from the 8th and 9th centuries. So they've got to be earlier than that. Their supposed speakers are two rabbis, Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, who lived in the Holy Land in the 2nd century CE, so they've got to be somewhere between the 2nd and the 9th century.
Gene, Randall, David, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is
Really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hey, folks. Tom D. for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of... No, that's another... Anyway, David Halpern, taking us back through time to ancient times and ancient abductions. Tell us more.
Yeah. What we particularly do not know is what their practices were. Did they actually have hallucinations of making this descent? And why did they speak of it as a descent? Everybody knows they ought to be going the other way, that the structures that Ezekiel sees, which are almost impossible to visualize, have to be somewhere in the heavens. So why do they go down?
Well, maybe it's like, okay, if it's a craft, maybe it's like, you know, how I might go down to my car in the driveway. You know, maybe it was down the hill from them or something like that. Look. You know what I'm saying? If you're talking about a vehicle, so I say, let's go down, get in the chariot, and take off, you know?
But we seem to be dealing with some sort of a psychic journey. And to me, what the most reasonable explanation is that they were thinking of a plunge into the unconscious. But you have that in the UFO abductions also. I mean, there are a couple of cases where Bud Hopkins is hypnotizing people, and one of them says, we're going down underground, and Bud Hopkins says, "Ooh, you know, you shouldn't be going underground." Well, I don't care. I'm going underground.
But of course, Ezekiel's his vision was that something did come out of the sky, and first that of all, what he thought was some kind of a whirlwind, and then as it got closer, it seemed to be like a wheel within a wheel, which essentially sounds very much like a flying saucer, you know, with the dome in the middle. And then, yes. Then with the faces around the edges, which sound very much like portholes.
Yes.
That
yes.
People could be looking out of numerous faces, right? So, I mean, that all adds up to be pretty much like your classic flying saucer.
Yeah, though you really do have to ignore a fair amount in the chapter to see that, to make it into an actual flying saucer. But I would concede the point that the wheels, whose function is very unclear, they don't seem to function like chariot wheels.
It's like a wheel within a wheel. So, I mean, if you've got a saucer, you know, that's like a wheel. And then if you've got a center section, that's like a wheel within a wheel, right? I mean, that makes perfect sense. And then if you've got the faces around the edge, that's like portals. It's pretty easy one-to-one relationship there. You don't have to stretch much to see that.
Yeah, except you have to ignore the living creatures who have four faces and four wings, that there are other parts of the vision that you have to pass over. But I'm willing on, let me meet you on Jungian grounds, that I think that what Ezekiel sees, which he represents as wheels that seem to have no function, and what modern people see as mandalas flying through the skies, represent eruptions of similar unconscious material. I think you're going to have a lot of trouble seeing the Ezekiel's wheels as vehicles from outer space, partly because, as I've said, the other parts of the chapter don't really fit in with that. And then when the entity that is enthroned above all this stuff speaks to Ezekiel, he speaks to him about certain very specific issues regarding Jewish political conflicts, which is very hard to imagine for a space alien.
Who knows for sure what kind of involvement they've had with people. I mean, if we assume that they're actual beings and have been around studying us for quite some time and are that much more advanced, it's not inconceivable that they would have some idea of our social structure.
I would find it very difficult to conceive, but it's okay. I mean, your approach and mine, I think, we can run parallel.
Oh, indeed. I think, regardless, I think that they can run very parallel and even connected, because there's nothing that says that these same beings, if they're real, aren't actually trying to convey the same kind of thinking to the experiencer that you're describing. And that's what makes it so fascinating for me. It adds another layer, a whole other dimension to it, which I find quite fascinating.
In which case, we might as well say they're God.
If you want, if you want to ascribe that title to them, that's a religious title. You know, I'm a non-religious person, so I don't go there with that. But other people certainly could. I mean, if you were a religious person back in those days, which I assume Ezekiel was, I'm not as familiar with the characters back in play in those days as you are. But I mean, that would only be natural, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then centuries after Ezekiel come first the rabbis who want to keep his vision under wraps for reasons that are not made very clear, but which I think I can speculate about very much along Jungian lines. And these strange Yordei Merkava, the descenders to the chariot, who we don't know quite how they relate to the rabbis. They certainly accepted the rabbi's authority because they put their visions in the mouths of two of the most prominent ancient rabbis. They seem to belong to some sort of a different sphere.
There's that whole underground UFO theory thing, that maybe there's underground bases. I mean, if we want to go that route, we could say, well, maybe they found an underground base and they did go there. Who knows?
Well, the literature has been translated now. I think James Davila published a translation of it. When you read it, I don't think you would be inclined to take such a, physical interpretation of it.
Yeah, I figured you were going to go there.
yeah.
But okay, let's get back on track then. So where are we going with all of that then? Your perspective?
From my perspective, where we're going is that alien abductions represent an eruption into the late 20th century of some impulses, I'll keep using the word, religious impulses, religious awarenesses that are attested from documents from centuries earlier. And that the paradox that we're dealing with something that is late 20th century, whose history can be traced out, and that we're at the same time dealing with, that it is at the same time archaic and timeless. That paradox is part of the essence of the UFO.
You know, we're looking into a lot of fascinating possibilities here, some of which we kind of covered before, and we only have about 4 seconds left. I wanted to get into part number three. Number three. And we start with the Men in Black, which you kind of sort of brought in earlier because you were so influenced, impressed by Gray Barker's book about the three men in black.
Yeah.
Conversely, when Albert Bender came out with Flying Saucers and the Three Men, where he turned out to be kind of sort of an abductee or contactee.
Yes.
How did you react to that?
Well, I reacted when I read it in 1962, the way most of us did, that this was all nonsense. It's only now that I think we can see that there was a lot more to it than we gave Bender credit for back then, and also a lot more to Bender. He was an absolutely extraordinary man.
Tell me more.
Well, you know that he had kind of a second avocation after he was frightened or whatever it was out of saucerology. I'll use the archaic term, out of saucerology, that he became devoted to bringing Max Steiner's music to light. Max Steiner was the composer of scores for movies, classic movies like Gone with the Wind and Casablanca, and for some reason or another was entirely forgotten. He was one of the Hollywood greats. And for some reason that I do not know, and I wish I did, I think it's a very important question, Bender became fascinated with him. And I think still at Bridgeport, still when he lived in Bridgeport, before he and his wife moved out to California, he founded something I think was called the Max Steiner Music Society, dedicated to retrieving all of Max Steiner's music, collecting it, and publicizing, spreading the word about what a great artist he was. I mean,
let's break it here. Let's break it here. We'll talk more about that. Alfred Bender, The Three Men, and Max Steiner. More to come with Gene Randall and David. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.